Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Survived Virginia Beach. We're doing the show, but Robbie Robinson is not with us.
Yeah, he was out as late as I was, and that's 4 hours past the time that he says he goes to bed.
Well, I knew that you're down in the Funny Bone in VA Beach, right next to the club is a bar that has a really good Sunday night karaoke night. I knew it would be fun, and I invited Robbie, and he said no because he had to get up early. But I just knew karaoke. He cannot.
Yeah, he's not going to pass that up, right?
And we actually have video. It was quite a night of karaoke. We have video, and we'll post it of Robbie singing "Creep," of Tommy Sambazo singing "Bohemian Rhapsody," Eric Woodworth wearing a Michael Jackson Thriller jacket and the glove singing Thriller. And then Robbie, even though you couldn't follow Eric, decided then to do the Bad Touch.
Yeah, Robbie somehow ended up doing two songs. We had to wait about 2 hours for Eric's name to be called. But yeah, Somehow Robbie managed to get two songs in before we left.
You and I sat in the back watching Eric. I think we giggled like girls the whole time.
I was dying laughing. I will say a couple of interesting things that happened. There was actually a girl who I had just met that night that was sitting at our table. I guess she worked at the club, and it was her birthday, and she was spending it with us.
I think it was her birthday a couple of days earlier, and she was just cheating that and just still claiming it was her birthday.
Oh, I thought she was spending her birthday with people she had met 20 minutes ago.
That would not be very cool.
She did something that bothered me. I'm going to tell you what it was. I said, what song are you singing? What karaoke song are you singing? She said, Dramarama. Now, Marcus, are you familiar with the song Dramarama?
No, I'm familiar with Bananarama.
Yeah. Well, that's a band. And so is Dramarama, by the way. They're also a band. They sing a song that she performed called Anything, Anything, which I had never heard of in my entire life. By the way, that song is from 1985. It's a 32-year-old song from some kind of alternative band, a song no one's ever heard of. So it's almost like, you know, what song are you going to do? I'm going to do Springsteen. I'll go, what song? Right? She didn't mention a song, which I wouldn't have known anyway. It didn't matter, but she kept saying it as if she's implying everybody's going to know this Dramarama song. And every single person who had heard that, they had no idea what the fuck she was talking about, and they all shook her head. But I should have known, because I know the band Dramarama. They sang a song called Last Cigarette. It's the only song I know by them, right? So as soon as she said that, I should have said the band, but I didn't. And the reason I had a clue, because the next she said, I'm doing Dramarama, my other go-to is I said, what song's your other go-to? She said, Justin Bieber. I mean, what does Justin Bieber have, 50 songs? And that's when I said, what Justin Bieber song? But I didn't say. And then when she went up there, I said, okay, I don't know the song. I didn't know the song Dramarama, but it wasn't. It was, she sang the name of the act to say what song she's singing. She doesn't, anyway, that was odd to me.
Is her last name Apple?
It wasn't.
No.
You think Apple knows who Dramarama is, song or band? No.
But she also said it as if we should just know that. Like if she said Love Shack, like, oh, yeah, Love Shack. But she said it, Dramarama. Like, oh, of course, that's a classic. So it
everybody,
wasn't that it was just a, it was a band and not a song. It was also said in a way as if she was saying some super familiar household name.
Well, everyone on here is a huge music fan, and we also all do radio. I've never heard the song in my entire life. So to assume, by the way, she was as old as the song. How would we know that? It wasn't Louie Louie. It wasn't a song before I was born that everybody knows. Well, not before I was born, clearly, but she couldn't have been born yet.
No. You, it's interesting because on the car ride down, it was you, Tommy, and me. And then on the car ride back, it was just me and Tommy. And the dynamics are different. When you're in the car, Tommy sits in the back, and he's in and out. He's got his headphones in. It's sort of you and me, and he'll chime in here and there. But we usually, if you're in a car, music is going to be the main topic. You always have some music trivia, like the leather and lace thing. You want to go ahead and tell that story, Joe?
I might have told that story on here already when we mentioned it, but you said Stevie Nicks came on. He said, what's your favorite Stevie Nicks song? I said, Leather and Lace. Here's an interesting thing about Leather and Lace. That song was written for an album by Waylon Jennings and his wife at the time called Leather and Lace. And Waylon Jennings heard that song and said, I didn't like it. So they made this shitty album, Leather and Lace, that didn't include this song, which ended up being the number three song in the country. So she had to record it on her own with Don Henley, make a huge hit out of it. Meanwhile, Leather and Lace, the album by Waylon Jennings and, you know, Jane Jennings, whatever the hell her name is, no one's ever heard of it.
So we're talking music, and we asked, I think somehow our favorite acts of all time came up, and we asked Tommy, and he says Gwar, and then he says Weird Al has to be up there.
And by the way, he only is naming three.
Right.
So after Gwar and Weird Al, he only has one left.
Right. And then he says MC Chris, who's something called Nerdcore Rap. So those are his three favorite bands of all time, artists.
You understand, to listen to, for Weird Al to be in your, you know, desert island, you know, band, you're hearing him make fun of actual songs that were good.
Right.
Like, you're hearing the good song, it's just with dumb lyrics. This is, I mean, the other thing is about Weird Al is those are jokes. How many times can you laugh at the same joke? A joke is a surprise. This is what you thought I was going to say, but I said this instead. Well, now he knows everything that Weird Al is going to say over and over again.
Yeah. But that's it. That's in his top three of all time. Weird Al, Gwar, and some nerdcore rapper, a genre I've never heard of, nerdcore.
Marcus, are you familiar with MC Chris?
I am absolutely not familiar with MC Chris.
Has there ever been a radio station that back-to-back-to-back played Gwar, Weird Al, than MC Chris?
Impossible.
No, of course not. I don't think there's a station that's ever played all three artists.
Right. At any
but
time.
But you got to give him this. Every single genre of music that he loved in his top three are all, they're all, you know, satirical. They're all comedy.
Right.
I mean, Gwar is the most serious of the three. I've never heard of MC Chris, but the way he described them, it's this ironic music, right? But I don't want to listen to parodies of other songs. I think two of them are something like that, or at least poking fun at something. Even Gwar is, if you look at the titles of their songs.
That's our Tommy. See, when you and I, when we tell stories, they're generally, you know, the typical stories that people tell. You know, this thing happened with this girl, awkward breakup, funny story about this gambling beat or something. When Tommy has stories, it's like he's living in a completely different world than the rest of us, a world I'm not familiar with. On the way back, he tells me a story So my girl, my my friend of mine, this girl, good friend of mine, like little sister to me. She only dates these losers. She dated a guy once that was a ninja. Like, what? He said what? Yeah, he studied the art of ninjutsu. I'm like, I don't know if that's a real thing. I've never even heard the term ninjutsu. I guess it's real. And I go, okay. And he's like, but he's just an American white guy, right? He goes, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he's part of this like international ninja society, and you have to go kill their ninjas. I'm like, this is a real thing. You're telling me. He goes, yeah.
Well, a ninja isn't it's not an achievement. Is this guy just declaring himself a ninja? A ninja isn't a title that you achieve. Am I right about that?
I have no idea, but I'm pretty sure this guy had declared himself a ninja.
Ninja well, is a title. Asked, it's not a style. Ninjutsu is the style.
Did this guy get awarded the status, or did he reach the rank of ninja?
Well, maybe he was on his way, but he died. Tommy says to me, how do you think he died? It has nothing to do with being a ninja. And I said, I don't know. Hit by a train? I look at Tommy, his face, I've never seen someone more shocked. He goes, oh, my God, you're right. You got it. Yes, that's what happened. He was playing on the train tracks. He got hit by a train and died.
How old was he, and how do you not know a train is coming? Is he, like, fucking around with it, like playing chicken?
I mean, isn't a ninja really self-aware of what's going
on?
The
other thing, God, he must have been the worst ninja alive. Well, not any, God rest his soul.
Right. So I've never had her story about a guy calling himself a ninja or someone getting hit by a train. And now it's the same story, same guy, Tommy Sambazo. That's the kind of stories he has.
I'm not taking seriously that guy was a ninja. If he couldn't jump out of the way of a moving train, how much notice did he have? Especially if he was on the tracks. You can still feel it coming. Whatever. We were sitting in our car, and I can't remember what brought it up, but Eric asked me if I knew any juggalos. Of course, I don't. And neither did Kim, and neither did Eric.
Tell the world what a juggalo is.
I think most people know, but it is a fan of the Insane Clown Posse. It's a band. Kind of. We'll get there, because that's how we said to Tommy, I'll bet Tommy knows some juggalos. Of course he does. He knows three. Which is weird, because you think they pair off. You know, you're going to be a juggalo by yourself. Anyway, but the point is, yeah, what were you going to say?
No, I was saying that then he started debating that with me in the car. He's like, what makes someone a juggalo? If they go to one show, if they paint their face, do you have to earn some sort of badge or something? And I'm like,
If you label yourself a juggalo, you're a juggalo. If you say I'm a juggalo, because it's almost like, look, you can be a racist, but you're only in the Klan when you sign up. You follow what I'm saying? So, yeah, you can be a fan of the Insane Clown Posse, but you have to declare yourself a juggalo because you want to be called that. Now, do you know the deal with what's going on with the juggalos, Marcus? Are you familiar with this?
Absolutely not. I'm familiar with the Insane Clown Posse, but I didn't even know about the juggalos.
So the juggalos have been categorized as a gang. If you're a juggalo, you are a gang member, just like you would be if you were a Crip or a Blood or whatever other gangs they recognize. And of course, the Insane Clown Posse, they're furious. Like, well, wait a minute, you know, somebody is going to be a fan of the Insane Clown Posse, and they're trying to get like custody of their kid, and the mom is going to be like, well, he's in a gang, and she's going to be correct. And I thought about that, but then I really don't want someone who's a fan of that kind of fan of the Insane Clown Posse to be raising a kid. So I guess they're right about that, but they still shouldn't be. They shouldn't be recognized as a gang. Do you agree with that?
I do agree. And see, I didn't know that was real. See, Tommy said that, and I just thought he was making a joke about the FBI calling him a gang. So I just laughed, but I didn't realize that was real.
Yeah, the juggalos, they had a march on Washington, like Martin Luther King. So I'm not kidding. They filled the Capitol steps with juggalos, saying this is unfair treatment of juggalos.
All right.
Which, and if I'm being honest, it is unfair treatment. It is. You can't. Just because you have horrible taste in music and you like to hang out with, you know, dirtbags, that doesn't make you in a gang. I mean, gang activity is kind of specific, right? And I just think the juggalos like to go and party hard and listen to the music of this band.
Well, in order to be identified as a gang by the FBI, you have to be engaging in some sort of criminal activity, right?
No, because Juggalos are on the list.
But what? Okay. So what's the negative? If a gang doesn't mean criminal activity, then what would be so bad about being in a gang?
Well, that's why they're protesting, because it does imply if you are flagged, if you are a Juggalo as a gang member, then you're right. You're implying that Juggalos are people that are organized in some sort of urban organized criminal activity, and they're not. Well, there may be Juggalos that are doing that. What am I defending the Juggalos for?
Whatever. So anyway,
yeah, you're right. Sorry. All right. Then Juggalos are bad. Okay. Sorry. No, honestly, that's ridiculous that they should be. I mean, people should sit them down and be like, guys, there's a whole world of music out there for you. I mean, that's a real conversation to have with a Juggalo.
That's like, the real. Maybe that's your favorite. The FBI is trying to do. That's what their goal is. Band.
You don't like the Rolling Stones. You don't like the music of Stevie Wonder. You don't like this. You like the Insane Clown Posse. That's your number one. That's the real conversation. But it's not criminal just because you have bad taste in music. Although I'm going to be honest, completely honest. I've heard some songs by the Insane Clown Posse. I thought they were catchy. I'm dead serious. I thought they were catchy.
I don't know if I know any of their music. Maybe when we come back, we'll have some Insane Clown Posse. Get on it, Marcus. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about Mickey Coachella and Blackface. Rob and Joe Show.
Die Laughing Productions is back with another hilarious whodunit murder mystery comedy show from the people who brought you A Merry Murder Mystery and the newly dead game Comes Back to the 80s. You're attending an event at Glenbrook North High in Chicago, Illinois, where the students, faculty, and alumni are gathering to open a time capsule that was planted exactly 30 years ago. But a still unsolved murder case will transport you back when gas was under $1 a gallon and cell phones were the size of a brick. Ferris Bueller, Marty McFly, and all things 80s murder mystery mashed up with me, Justin from 98 Rock, and the audience, you're going to be the star. Some of you will get to play parts in the show, and all of you will guess who the murderer is. Guess right, you could win something bitchin'. Guess wrong, and you'll be a butthead. Jean jackets and leg warmers are encouraged. Eat, drink, laugh, and solve a murder. Back to the 80s.
For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Doing our murder mystery Halloween one, final time this Halloween season on Halloween night itself in Annapolis. And Magoobie's Joke House is having a show, which I think is a cool show as well, Night of the Laughing Dead, where they're having comedians do bits and dress up like, I'm assuming, famous dead comedians. We have some. Mike Moran is going to be Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg, yeah.
Quinlan is going to be Don Rickles. Somebody's being Lucille Ball.
Yeah, her name is Rose Nineshank. That's that woman's name.
Yes. And then
I hope
Mickey
that's a stage name, because if that's your real name.
I think it's a real name. I've met her a few times.
All right.
She bills herself as the world's tiniest homosexual.
Is she small?
Short, yes, but you know, she's not like a midget or anything, a little person. I'm right. Sure there's a gay little person out there, so I don't think that's accurate, but whatever. And then Mickey Coachella is going to be Richard Pryor. So Tommy and I on the drive home today, Mickey has a radio show, and he also Facebook Lives it. So, excuse me. So we started listening and viewing it. And Tommy, you know, you can chat in there. He types in, how close is Mickey going to get to looking like Richard Pryor? How serious is he taking his costume? And Mike Moran, who's like his co-host, also a comedian, and he knows us, sensed out what Tommy was saying. So you're saying he's going to go in blackface. So then that turned into a real, actual, on-air discussion.
About whether that was a good idea?
Yes. And so Tommy and I are really happy that we've started a debate. We're producing their show now. So, Andrew,
hold on. How can I interrupt? Was it taken seriously?
Well,
or were they kind of being tongue in cheek about doing it?
No. Mickey said he's not doing it.
Okay, got it.
But he says he thinks he should be able to do it. And that's what's wrong with Comedy Day. He
also What's wrong with comedy is he can't show up in blackface. Okay,
right. He also thinks that if he went and got an actual professional makeup artist and do moldings and stuff to make him his to make him look like Richard Pryor, that would not be racist.
How could he do that? Well, it would cost thousands of dollars.
I know that, but he's saying that wouldn't be racist. And I tend to agree because that's you're really trying to versus putting it like shoe polish on your face, obviously. So, but while this is happening, Andrew Unger, the owner of Magoobies, is in the chat also saying, "You're not going to do that, Mickey. No blackface allowed." So then the other people in the chat are starting to yell at Andrew, "Dude, don't take it that seriously." And then Tommy, "Yeah, fuck that Andrew guy." He starts filing on. It turned into a whole actual sort of argument. I think Andrew said, "Take that show to the Comedy Factory." And then, so Tommy and I are thinking, wow, did we just start an actual argument? We were really proud of ourselves.
Oh, did it seem like a real argument?
Well, then off the air, they're still doing the Facebook Live. Mickey's like, "Andrew, I'm not going to do it. Just relax." Andrew's like, "Okay." But it seemed like we were going down a road. I almost texted Andrew, "Dude, I heard Mickey's going to be in blackface. What's up?" Right? I wanted to just keep the whole thing going. But
you know what's strange about that show? By the way, I actually think it's a pretty good idea. I really do. I mean, it's almost like an homage. You only do it once a year. Yeah, it is a good idea. It's a real good idea. But except for, you know, the stand-up of Lucille Ball. I mean, I Love Lucy, is that show from the late 50s?
Yeah, probably.
Well, her stand-up is probably from the 30s. It's probably from the Depression, right? Or from the 40s. I mean, that's, you know what kind of jokes you're going to hear from the 1940s?
I don't know, but I'm curious. Also, Sam, what's her name? Sam Kelly.
Kelly. She's going to go by Samantha. That's why you.
Yes.
Well, she's going to go by Sam because she wants to appear more androgynous. Am I right about that?
Right. She's a lesbian who's going to be doing Sam Kennison. So that should be interesting.
That's the real reason, because she's playing someone whose name is Sam. Okay, I got it now.
If you had to do this show, who would you try to be, Joe?
I guess with Bob Newhart.
Is he's dead?
Oh, he's alive. You're right. He's on the Big Bang Theory.
Good job. Breaking news. Richard Simmons. No, he's not. Well, you've got, like, you know, Greg Giraldo. More contemporary.
Bob Hope.
Oh, yeah? Bob Hope?
Yeah, I love the work of Bob Hope.
I don't know. It's a good show. You know, if you can't come to ours, go to that one.
Hold on. So, what year was Lucille Ball born?
1911.
So that means that comedy that she's doing is definitely from the 30s.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever heard any Lucille Ball stand up ever in my entire life.
But she did do stand up. Do we know that for a fact? Or
I'm sure that she did. I'm sure that she did. But she clearly
doing stand up then. I mean, I probably had
I didn't think about that. Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been a lot. I mean, is she gonna do that thing where all the candy's going down the conveyor belt and they're shoving it in her mouth? I mean, what?
Yes.
So, by the way, you have to do, so there's only five of them, right? Or is there six? There's five.
Yeah, I think there's five.
Okay. That means they're going to have to do, 20 minutes each, right? Because the show has to be an hour and a half.
You know, Mickey.
20 minutes of somebody else's act? That's hard. It's hard to do.
It is hard to do.
I got some Lucille Ball for you.
All right.
Let's hear it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's my brother, Harry. He's with the FBI.
Your brother's with the FBI?
Yeah, they picked him up in Kansas City.
So the FBI picked him up?
Well, they had to. He couldn't pick himself up.
Loaded again. Yeah. Poor Harry. Hasn't your family ever tried to do something about his drinking?
Well, we sent him to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist worked and worked to get to the bottom of Harry's drinking. And finally, he found out Harry's problem.
What was it?
Harry likes to drink.
Well, we all have our reasons.
I think Harry drinks to forget.
Forget what?
That he's a kleptomaniac.
He's a kleptomaniac.
Harry was always always going into stores and taking things, so you know what my mother did?
What?
Well, she took some adhesive, and she taped his hand shut all but this one finger.
Taped his hand shut all but that? Why?
Well, so he could play marbles with my other brother.
So that was Lucille Ball with George Burns.
I mean, that stuff is super clever. It's very vaudevillian. You know, it's been 100 years, basically, since they did that.
I mean, is she just going to try to sound like her and just, you know, that's going to be enough and dress like her?
Well, I mean, listen, if somebody does a dead on Lucille Ball, a lot of people in the audience aren't going to know who the fuck that is.
No, people know who Lucille Ball is.
Katie doesn't know who Lucille Ball is.
I love Lucy.
I mean, no, she might know who she is, but she doesn't know who she sounds like. So if you do a dead on, she's not going to know.
Have a good show, Rose. Robbie's not here, so I thought about should I read this or not, but I will anyways. Get his reaction next week. So thank you all for all the stars on iTunes. We have 67 people have said they like the show. 4.5 stars, basically. Almost all. And some comments. Almost all good, except for a new one I just saw here. From September 10th from Microphone Mixer. Formerly great show. Unsubscribe the subject. I've finally woken up and smelled the coffee. The awful theme song, the poor audio quality, the constant insider bickering, the yelling, no thanks. I have unsubscribed. Oh, and Rob Robinson, bickering and conflict aren't compelling listening, not in the slightest. It's a frickin' comedy podcast, or advertised as such.
Well, man, so this guy was once paying to hear the show, and now he's unsubscribed. Or he just unsubscribed in general.
It's iTunes, so it's not paying.
Well, I'm sorry that guy feels that way. But I agree, I don't want to be in arguments.
Yeah.
But he's wrong about the theme song. The theme song is good.
Well, maybe.
By the way, you can just forward, click past it. You don't have to listen to it.
Maybe he's a Guar fan. He doesn't like it.
That is odd to be upset about. If you have TiVo or, you know, a DVR, do you watch all the credits at the beginning of The Walking Dead or you click past them?
Past it. We actually had a negative review from Virginia Beach yesterday. I went to their Facebook.
We did. Let's hear it.
Well, it sort of upset me. Not upset me. It's just it's stupid. But I will read it. It's also about the club too. So there's it basically shits on everybody. We had 200 people there on a Sunday.
206.
Raining like crazy during Redskins Cowboys game. So it was incredibly successful and a very good show. Just walked out of there.
Hard to find a negative one. What's that?
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Just walked out of their Halloween murder mystery whodunit show. There was an opposite to funny. This was it. The performers were literally reading lines from a notebook. He doesn't understand the audience roles. They have one. The mic was turned up to an ear-splitting level. We did not.
He's
order
right
food.
About that.
Yeah, the she. We did not order food, but the food that was around us smelled horrible.
How does he's being critical of food he didn't have.
She.
Okay. She.
Sorry. We were yelled at by the bouncer for walking out without a receipt, even though we handed cash to the waitress. You still have to walk out with this thing. This was an overall horrible experience, and I will never go back. This is probably one of the Groupon people that doesn't go to comedy clubs and doesn't understand comedy club laughing.
Well, that sucks, but it was a wild success.
Yes.
They said, as soon as they saw it, they said, we want this here more. We're booked. We're booked in like 45 days there again.
It's funny that when she says the performers were reading lines from a notebook, she doesn't understand that the audience has roles. She doesn't, it's just.
She thought there were people from our cast that were sitting at a table drinking with other people, eating food, filling out the papers.
Yes, yes.
And she thought they were in the show.
Yes.
Well, maybe those people should memorize their lines. What did she give us? 1 star?
Yeah, 1 star. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. I was in a Lyft, not an Uber. I'm Lyft loyal. And there was a guy that picked me up, and the guy. We get in the car. He said, hey, I have a charger back there, and it's compatible to every single phone. And you picked it up. There's like 8 different, things coming off of this charger. And he goes, hey, if you want a DJ, I have this iPad, and you can pick whatever music you want to listen to. So we picked some music, and then he drove us there, and he dropped us off. Well, that guy has a 4.8 on Lyft. What did that guy have to do? I mean, somebody they wanted more than what that guy provided. Don't you think that's unfair? That they were like, no. We like when they offer us mints. Well, this guy doesn't know. He's just trying to make it the best experience. Just driving you somewhere. How can you not give him a 5? You can always say to him, hey, if you had mints, this experience would be better. But he's supposed to know what you like. What do you want, a foot rub? You understand what a dick would leave a 4 for this guy? It's the best possible scenario from getting from point A to point B.
Did you mention the iPad with the music? Did you say that?
Yeah. We could DJ. We could pick whatever music we wanted.
Some people are just assholes. Some people are never happy.
Who's the first person I thought of when I saw that he got a 4? Who's the first person I thought of?
Robbie Robinson.
Exactly. Robbie had been like, we tried to put our dog in the car, and he wouldn't let it ride in the front seat. So as a result,
so
3.
As you know, Robbie was very concerned about the sound booth in Virginia Beach in terms of his ability to move around in there, his ability to see the show from where it is. And he had asked me to get someone to shoot a video there, send it. And of course I never did. So we meet up beforehand or having lunch, and he wants to head over early. It's like 4. And he mentions about the sound booth again. And Tommy goes, oh no, it's big. It's real big. Knowing full well that it's not, okay? So then, after the show, Tommy's like, so the sound booth was nice. I goes, no, it was really small. He goes, oh, they must have remodeled it.
You know what? Like, it's funny. Robbie came up, and he was like, God, it's really hard to work in there. And I was like, God, he makes it so difficult. Then I went into that sound booth. You can't see anything. It literally is like looking out of a pinhole. I didn't say a word to Robbie. I mean, not that, look, I would just adapt. He's not built that way. It's got to be, he makes the demands and you meet those. I mean, I get that. That's how he is. But we know that. So we have to, but in this case, that would have been difficult to run the show through that little teeny peephole.
But he made it work. He did a great job. So.
He did. Yeah, it was good. Except for that one lady. She did not like it. No. She didn't even like the food on the other tables.
Those French fries smell horrible.
That is, you are a dick if you are complaining about food you never ate.
Yeah. And by the way, the mic was loud, and then we said turn it down, and they turned it down. So okay, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna in defense of those people, it took longer than it should have to turn the mic down. I didn't understand it.
Well, Robbie said it was Grand Central Station, and there are a lot of people asking him questions.
He said that. What questions could they have had for him?
I have no idea.
You comfortable? You're still comfortable? Sorry that it's so small in here.
Let's take a break. Rob and Josh will be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
All right, here's a story. It's nothing to do with us. So here, we're not being inside. But I saw this today. It caught my attention. St. Louis man, 79, headed back to prison for his 4th murder.
He's so, already killed 3 people?
Yeah, he's back in the 1970s. He killed his wife's mother and grandparents. He went to jail.
He went to jail for those 3 murders.
Yes.
And then after a very, very long time, he was let out. Is that what they ran concurrently?
No. There's more to it. He got out and was in a halfway house, escaped from the halfway house, was a fugitive for 8 years. Okay, this is like in the 90s now. Then he gets busted trying to buy counterfeits, what do you call it when you don't have a little love money and the government gives you something to go to the store and buy food?
Oh, like a WIC card or something, or a
food stamps.
Yeah, food stamps or independence card.
So he's trying to buy some counterfeit ones or something. Undercover sting. So then he gets back in the prison. So now he's killed three people and he's escaped and he's tried to buy counterfeit food stamps. Gets parole. Now he's in like an old folks home. He thinks this woman is stealing money from him. He gets in his wheelchair with a gun, goes through the old folks home, finds her and shoots and kills her.
Jeez. How old is this guy?
He's 79.
Oh, man. Well, he's definitely going to die in prison.
I think so.
But that's even if it happens a couple years later.
But how many chances we got to give this guy?
Hey, can I tell a quick story about, I went to, is this inside? I went to dinner with Katie and her parents and her brother and sister-in-law, okay? We're sitting there, and I don't know what we're talking about, the environment. And Katie's dad's like, yeah, that movie's coming out about the global warming, and it's blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you mean An Inconvenient Truth 2? I go, that actually came out a while back. He goes, no, this movie's brand new. And then her brother goes, yeah, no, that movie's about 6 months old. He goes, no, this is coming out. It's a documentary. It's coming out right now. It's coming out. If it's not, didn't just come out, it's coming out shortly. Okay, now Rob knows the answer to this. What movie is he referring to, Marcus, that he believes is a documentary about global warming?
I can't come up with a serious answer. I don't know. Of all the movies that I can think of, I can't think of one that I would repurpose that way. So I'll say Ragnarok. Okay.
Not the Thor movie.
Yes.
No, this is what he believes is a documentary. Are you familiar with the movie Geostorm?
Oh, yeah.
It stars Gerard Butler, and it's about a machine that controls the weather. It's also horrible. It's got a 15%. But did he believe, he either didn't know who Gerard Butler was.
Oh, my God.
And he believed that there's a weather machine that's making it rain and tornadoes and earthquakes. He either believes that or believes that that's happening, but Gerard Butler's involved in it. Like, he knows who Gerard Butler is and thinks that he is also some sort of geological, you know, scientist that's involved in the shaping of our weather through man-made, you know, ways.
Wow.
Sure. Makes sense. Yeah. Did you?
It does.
Did you shit on relentlessly?
No, I could. Come on. I mean, I try to tone it down, but I cannot laugh at that. I was just to say nothing. You thought E.T. was a documentary? I just sit there.
Did you ask him if he saw the documentary with Gerard Butler and as he protected the president from the, you know, from the assassins?
No, I didn't ask him any more questions about that, but. I mean, I'm trying to think of what could be more. I mean, I guess, you know, if you thought Lord of the Rings was a document, yeah, maybe there are things that are stranger, because at least
it'll
this
work.
Movie takes place in this world. So I guess there are more ridiculous movies to believe are documentary, like Hugh Frame Roger Rabbit is a documentary. So I get that there is more ridiculous, but it's pretty close, right? This is pretty close to being the most ridiculous movie that you could believe is a documentary.
What's worse, that or believing like a show like Stranger Things is based on a true story?
Wow. I think this, if you think it's a documentary, if you think that somewhere on the earth, skyscrapers just tumbled over by a machine, yeah, this is worse. Wouldn't that be all over the news?
Yes.
The Dubai Tower was knocked over by an earthquake that we created.
It's called 9/11.
Oh.
Too soon?
Too soon, Mark.
Sorry.
So we haven't, this is the improv show. We haven't had a show since then, have we? It's all running together. We've been so busy, but we had a sold out show at the Improv on Wednesday. And, I've also got the Keckner update. God, I'm forgetting all this stuff. But you, we've said this before on the show, Joe, where we, after the murder mystery, when we're reading the names of the people that got it right and their team names, that you I've said that sometimes I think you shit on these people too much, and that
They're going to get shit on and be like, even though I had a great time, I don't want to experience that. So yeah, I run the risk of people not wanting to come back. But I was cognizant of that after you said it, but go ahead.
Yes. So fast forward to Sunday, you go up before the show, about 10 minutes before, and just kind of explain, you know, how everything's going to work. And you say, if you can figure it out, great. If not, you know, doesn't matter. I mean, you probably can't figure it out, sir. You immediately start shitting on this guy. Now,
but your in my defense, right. A little bit. Yeah. This guy was making a spectacle of himself. I actually end up loving him.
Yes.
But he was one of these guys that the audience wanted to root against. He made himself into the villain.
And he embraced it. And it actually, it did set a tone with that guy that ended up, he was one of the highlights, if you ask me, the back and forth with him.
He did something that I've never seen before. I've seen our audience members I've seen our cast members fuck with audience members. I've seen that. But one audience member flipped off another audience, just gave, and it was a guy flipping off a woman. So it was a lot. It was pretty ballsy move. Did you see that occurring?
Yeah, it was very ballsy. He was dressed as Indiana Jones, and I think that just gave him courage, I think. Good for that guy. So we talked last week.
Well, let me jump in real quick about the names. But what they did was they made me gun shy. So when I was up this time, I was reading these names, and some of these names were just one team's name was Blue, the color. Yeah. I said nothing. I acted like that was a good name. So there has to be a happy medium. I can't just not acknowledge when somebody just puts, you know, a fruit or a vegetable or an ant. You know, I have to be able to say, okay, this is not what we're looking for.
Okay, here's the rule. If it's obvious they made an effort and it's bad, don't shit on it. Like, we're the murder mystery crew from Section 22. You just, that's okay, they tried, it's bad. But if they just say, you know, team detectives, then you shit on it, okay?
Okay,
or Blue.
Got it.
But if they made an effort, you say, all right, next time. That makes sense? I think that makes sense.
It does. The people that have just their name is team detective, they're going to be pissed too. The people that put Blue on there, they weren't happy. They thought Blue was the winner.
We're all over the place today, but that's okay. But so we're toying with the idea of doing a Michael Jackson themed murder mystery. Basically just creating some plot about finding the world's biggest Michael Jackson fan, just a vehicle to play his music and, you know, capitalize off his name. And I tell this to Robbie, and he says, well, we're going to have to make some pedophile jokes. I go, no, we're not. We're going to be trying to, like, celebrate his life and his music and positive and happy. Our fans are going to expect that.
What?
They're going to be upset. Like, really? Like, they're going to walk out, damn it.
You have to do pedophile jokes.
Pedophilia.
No, we can't. It's literally the opposite. We have to not do a pedophile joke.
Our fans are expecting us to mention pedophilia?
Wow.
The whole idea is to celebrate. This is what we're doing. We want people that love Michael Jackson to come play his music. We'll have a lot of funny references. It'll be a celebration of his music and his work. You can't then talk about pedophilia. That basically defeats
people are never okay. Within the last 24 hours, we found out that Kevin Spacey may have inappropriately addressed or done something inappropriate with a 14-year-old. His career's over. It took literally no time. House of Cards been canceled. He's done. His career has ended now. And Robbie's like, our fans are going to expect this.
Yes.
They're going to expect us to say something that ruins our career. They're going to expect us to sabotage ourselves, which, by the way, oh, God, Eric Woodworth. So in the green room where we are in Virginia Beach, comedians put their names on the wall, you know. So-and-so was here this date. You know, be ready to see me in the future. Ha ha, make a hilarious joke. And they write their name. Eric put his name and drew a picture of a dick. And under it, he wrote traced. That's on the wall now in permanent marker. Again, presumptuous, because putting a dick on the wall is presumptuous. But his name, we can't deny it. He put his name on it. And he dated it.
Was it big?
Well, I mean, obviously he was making a joke because it wasn't big.
Okay.
But it may be accurate. I don't know.
Maybe it is accurate. That's the thing. Maybe he really did trace it. You're not thinking that that could be the possibility.
No, because I saw where his waist was compared to where it was. He also would have had to get himself aroused in order to do this, which, I mean, maybe he did, but I feel like I would have saw that. I would have seen that happen.
Yeah, we're going to show these videos on our Facebook, but when he does Thriller at this karaoke bar, he threw in the fuck a few times for no reason.
Whoever was going to go up after Eric was going to have trouble. And then, of course, Robbie went up and did the bad touch.
So last week we talked about me and Tawana going out to dinner with David Koechner after his show Saturday afternoon at the Improv. They're doing a Superior Donuts publicity tour for the new season that starts tonight, actually, the 30th. And he texted a group text. My buddy's getting reservations for this place. You want to go? And I had said yes. Tawana and I are in. And then we were debating whether or not I had just invited her. Well, there is a clear answer. Marcus, do you want to weigh in on what the answer is? Is either Joe right that I did invite Tawanda when I shouldn't have, mistakenly, or was this a non-issue?
I believe that Joe is correct, and you are in the wrong for assuming that Tawanda was invited to go. And I think that Koechner said, okay, well, I have no choice. She's going to come along now.
Well, I will grant you that probably would be the funnier of the answers. But no, I was completely in the right. His buddy, who I actually had met at the Arlington Draft House last year, he and his girlfriend set this up. So, and they brought another couple. It was literally all couples except for Koechner. Everyone else was coupled up. So it was completely fine.
What did it say about me? I saw that and I was very disappointed.
I know. I know you were.
It would have been better for the show. Yeah, Rob's been letting me down with things that happen at his expense that would have been funny, and they're not. When we were at the DC Improv, it's the end of the show, and the thing about it is there's a high that comes after having a great show in front of an audience where there wasn't an extra seat. There's this adrenaline rush that you have. It's the end of the night, and we're standing there, and we're selling merch. That's what we're doing. And I look down at Rob's phone. It lights up. And it's from his girlfriend. It says, are you going to do laundry tonight? So it's 10:30 at night, right? So I think that's hilarious, and it implies that Rob was supposed to do the laundry during the day. He didn't. And now, regardless of what's going on in his life, he's getting bitched at for not having done that, and he's going to have to go home after this, you know, great experience and do the whites. You know what I'm saying? He's going to have to. But Rob told me that wasn't the case, so I misread that.
No, it was not the case. I just did the laundry the next day, and it was no big deal.
But you could be saying that, too. I mean, I wouldn't know.
That's true. Well, no, it really wasn't. But we go to this. I actually got to do 10 minutes on the show, so that was kind of cool at the Improv. And I was actually wearing a dressing nicer because the restaurant's pretty nice. So they always take good pictures at the Improv, and it's also obvious that I have, like, a rotation of 3 or 4 shirts. So it was good to finally get some good pictures of me, you know, in a sport coat, a nicer outfit. But we go out to this place, and it was cool. It was a good vibe. It's called Saks, S-A-X, in D.C. Like, every 15 minutes, they have dancers. There's also a little Cirque du Soleil-like thing with a girl on, like, a swing doing all these acrobatic stuff. Food's really good. It's expensive, but old Koechner, you know, went over to the server, pulled her aside. Next thing you know, paid 8 people, probably $600-$700. I'm guessing.
That's very cool of Koechner. It's very cool of him. But I mean, to be honest with you, if I were in that, if we were all in that situation, we would have picked it up. But it's very. I'm not saying it's not cool. It's almost like when Bill Gates gives money. They go, yeah, but he has, you know, $1 billion. Well, yeah, but still, to give it, it doesn't matter. Quit. Don't place your narrative on somebody else. If they're giving, they're giving. But you would have done that too.
I would have, yes, but we had a we had a good time, and he ended up because his other couple, you know, we didn't know. It was just friends of this guy that he grew up with, this guy in Tipton, Missouri, and now the guy lives in D.C., so every time he's around, he comes out. But the other couple, the other guy that was there, we didn't know them. And Kettner, he got on a really good rant because we were talking about male-female stuff and just relationship stuff. And he said, dude, did you remember that? Because I think that was pretty good. I said, yeah, I did. That guys basically just want to be left alone. And that if you leave us alone, we'll never leave you. And because he was talking about his wife getting on about getting this some work done around the house, some drywall or something. It's like, I've got a guy, and the guy, it's cheaper if I do it through him. We have to do it on his time. But you keep asking me about it, and instead of just trusting that I've got it. So just, if I say I'm going to do it, just let me do it. Maybe it's on my own time. And then just leave us alone. We'll never leave you. I'm here. If I want to leave, I would leave. But just leave us alone. This other girl's like, well, no, you won't. You need to be reminded. We have to be changed and all this stuff. And they had this real back and forth, sort of a drunken moment. But I was like, yeah, there's probably some good advice in there.
There's great advice in there. There's amazing advice in there. But isn't it ironic that what she said was no? But
yes,
he's
right.
Himself. She's like, no, you don't understand. No, I do understand. I'm me.
Yes. Yeah,
so just like when,
was it?
Yeah, when I'm in an argument with Katie and she goes, well, that's what you think. I go, yes, I think it. You understand? It can't be just what you think. The reason that you think it is because you believe it to be right. If I didn't believe it to be right, I wouldn't be thinking it.
Yeah. No, it's so true. Marcus, you've been married. You know how this is. You know this works. You aren't been and are married.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah.
Probably the last time, you think?
Thanks.
Oh, this is absolutely the last time. Yeah.
That's what Robbie said.
I told Elise, I said, look, honey, this is your only way out is death. So choose.
There you go. Well, this is the big week. Down in New Orleans this weekend, the Mike O'Mara show. The actual show itself is Saturday night. There is a meet and greet I will be involved in, 8 to 11 p.m. this Friday night. I'm looking forward to it. The whole gang will be there on the show. You know, Rob and Oscar and Mike and obviously the missus. I'm sure Todd Moore will be there. You'll be there, Marcus. Merle Rogers. Any word on the Bergson brothers? Do we ever find out if they're going?
I've heard nothing from the Bergsons. I've heard nothing from any of the other known P1s that I would slate as Rob and Joe elites.
Is there going to be a Mermelstein sighting?
There will be no Mermelstein sighting. I'm sorry.
Too bad. Because Spiewak asked me for my intro when he brings me on stage. And I mentioned a few things. But then I said I wanted to be called the Mermelstein of comedy.
Is that a joke for enough people that are going to be? I guess no, they're all P1s no. If they're there.
For TMOS. For TMOS, it'll be funny.
I think they'll get it.
But Mermelstein hasn't been on the show in a very, very long time.
But he's still, his legend grows, so.
It is true. It's very true.
I have some stuff I need to save. I guess we're doing a bonus show soon. But I do want to tease it. My son had, he's in an improv troupe. We talked about that.
Yeah.
And I went to the show this past Friday. So I have some stories from that, but I think I'm going to save that for a bonus show. So if you're not a Patreon, now's the time to sign up so you can hear that. And if you when are we recording that, Rob, the bonus?
I believe that it's 2 weeks from today.
Okay.
I don't know. Robbie will be mad at us. I'm sure we're supposed to.
Right.
We'll figure it out and let you know. But thank you, guys. If you hear this in time, come out to Annapolis. We're at 170 tickets.
Yeah, 174 tickets sold now. So, yeah, I mean, we should. It seats 312, so it won't be so crowded that it's uncomfortable. But you know, there will be a huge. It'd be 200 plus there, so it should be. It'll be a good time.
It's 8:00. You can hand out some candy, get dressed up, you know, wear a costume or not, but you have fun with it. Come out to Annapolis and enjoy Halloween with us, making you laugh and trying to be scary. Thank you, guys. We will talk to you soon next week. I will be back fresh off the plane, hopefully with tons of hilarious stories from New Orleans. Until then, later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.